Hey, it's Justine Thomas. I've got in the studio today Corey Ward and Joe Danier, and I'll tell you what, it's been a while. It has been such a while.
You were missed big time.
I don't know about that, but it's good to be missed. And I'll tell you what, Corey, when I asked Corey, hey, Corey, you want to jump on and you want to talk a little bit about some of the promotions you've got coming up this summer and things that are going on, he's like, really? Really? So yes, we have to get you on. And we're bringing the bourbon out already. This could be bad. So Corey, just a little bit ago, I'm like, oh my gosh, don't share these stories because these are such good stories. I did not know. Now I knew you and J-Dub have been friends forever and ever and ever. And you probably were around when he started his radio career with Hot 101.
Yes.
And yeah, I didn't realize you brought Boys to Men to the area.
Yeah, J-Dub was actually the best man at my wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Back in 2007 at the Wedge, we had Boys to Men play.
Okay.
And if you remember the Wedge, on the top right-hand side, there's this huge loft where you could just privately watch the show or whatever. It's just a really great place.
Great venue.
You know. So going into the night, a funny story prior to that was it was a fly-in date, so they were by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, looking around who I can put on as far as an opening act. Well, I ended up with PM Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get approval from, you know,
the band.
Yeah, from the band. And actually, Boys and Men had no idea who PM Dawn was. I was dumbfounded. I thought
some of the biggest 80s bands.
Yeah, I thought, I'm like, this is great. It's a nice 1-2, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was so taken aback by that. They had no idea. I'm like, wow. So we get that done. They do the show. And then J-Dub is going to intro Boys to Men, and he froze. I still have it on video.
That's awesome. I got to get a copy. I
hands in his pockets. And actually, Wes Stiles, who was upstairs with us, uh-huh. Rock 104 PD, went down there, went on stage with him to help him through it.
That is awesome.
And that was what, 07, something around
wow.
Those. Yeah, it was a good one. It was,
so, you know, you've been doing promoting since 07.
Actually, since 99. Yeah.
99. Oh, do tell. Do tell.
This was probably the summer of 99. I saw a ad for a wrestling show, and my favorite wrestler growing up was King Kong Bundy. I mean, end all be all, that was my guy. Well, he was wrestling in a gymnasium.
Okay.
In Andover. That summer, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
Drove up to Andover, and there's this guy who I grew up idolizing, sitting in a corner with a table, signing autographs. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Got to be friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Very good friends with him. And that's how I started out. I promoted professional wrestling shows in 99.
So it started with wrestling.
Added on a couple of different things. Ended up doing some WWE shows at Beagle in the early 2000s. A funny story about that. You can ask Freddie, because Freddie was with me. I didn't use YSU Ushers one time. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Austin Town, so I used the Austin Town Fitch Wrestlers one year. So I called the coach, you know, and said in exchange for you helping ushering, they can meet Ric Flair. So, and Ric was great because he had the stats from the Vindicator. It was wrestling season. You know, he met all the guys backstage. Everything was great. So at the end of the night, I mean, and all the big guys were there, Brock Lesnar, Big Show, all of them. So at the end of the night, Ric Flair was wrestling, and Freddie will remember this because Freddie was bringing his kid backstage.
Uh-huh.
Right when the show ended, and Ric Flair in the audience had his cook there. A YSU security officer stopped the cook from coming back after Ric said, yeah, I let him on back. And these two got into an argument that was so unbelievably bad.
Oh my
like,
God.
I'm looking at Freddie. My eyes are like, I'm like, I don't know what to say. You know, and Freddie's like, huh. You know, and Ric Flair and this YSU security cop are nose to nose, getting ready to fight. And I'm like, oh my God, what do you do in this situation?
Throwdown.
You know, literally like, and Ric is just animated. He's upset now, you know, and the guy's like, I don't care who you are. And I asked Freddie next time you see him, he will, I'm sure, tell you about that one. And it was like, wow. But then it ruined the rest of the night. you know, than everyone else. Is just, you know, the mood in the locker room was bad and everything. It was just like, that's it.
So how do you try to maintain ground after that? What do you do?
There's
nothing you can do. You can't salvage it. No. It's just like,
it's a long day anyways, because it's back in, this is the early 2000s when there's no YSU at that time. And I haven't been to Beagle in a while, but you know, you had to run up to Ticketmaster and they printed up all the tickets. You had them in a big box. I had to be down at Beagle by 2:00.
Oh yeah.
To bring the tickets to the ushers. And then you had to go out and there's numbers. You had to chalk the sections. A, B, C, D, all the way down. There's 14. I remember like it was yesterday. We did a couple of shows. And then when Covelli was built, then they didn't need an outside promoter. They handled everything pretty much, you know, in house. So, those were great times. Like I said, I was a huge wrestling fan growing up. So for me, it was kind of like, wow, this is great, you know.
So that's what started into the infamous man that you are today.
Infamous. I like you always use that word. I like that. That's, I'm like, Joe, I don't know if that's good or bad.
It is good.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what started. It was the wrestling, and then it morphed into just you name it. You know, we've promoted it type thing.
You have done so many concerts over the years.
Yes. And you know, the funny thing is one thing that like will always come up. It's like you hear about the Nyabingi or you hear about Cedars. You never hear about the Wedge.
Mm-hmm. Never.
It never comes up. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not that, you know, pounding my chest. It's not that at all. But like you've been in a conversation, you're like, remember at Nyabingi when...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, well, how about remember at the Wedge when Snoop Dogg played in Austin Town? You know,
nobody talks about it.
It's crazy. No one does. Yeah. It's funny. It's just like, wow, you know, that was an era that will never happen again. You know, I mean, I don't even think the buildings, you know, I think it's getting gutted.
That's just
a
damn shame.
Right? You know, but I mean, so many memorable moments. Like I met J-Dub through the Wedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the PD on Hot 101 and we had Papa Roach one night. Mm-hmm. And, J-Dub had asked Wes Styles if he could meet the lead singer. And I'm like, I blew it off. So if you know J-Dub in J-Dub fashion, you know, his arrogance when he was backstage after the show, looking at me like, how you doing? Just like that, you know, and I'm like, all right. You know, it was funny because he found his way back. It was funny. It was a good story.
That's J-Dub though.
That's J-Dub.
That's J-Dub.
Yes.
He can find his way into anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Good dude though.
Absolutely.
Miss him. He's doing well.
Yes, very well. So if he's listening, hi, J-Dub.
He might be. I don't know. Yep. Steve James is, hey, Steve, how are you? So in booking some of these bands, people don't realize what lengths you have to go to book these bands, bring these bands in, make them happy.
Yes.
And then to make sure that they're not burning themselves out. Like how many times, you know, have bands come to the area and it's like, oh yeah, I've seen them 12 times. So sure. you kind of want to bring somebody new, somebody that's going to bring a crowd for you. And then, you know, your diehard bands that you can pull on anytime.
Take the Rib Burnoff, for instance, in Boardman, a very good example. There's a formula to that where, it's free until 3:00 and you're only charging $7 after 3:00. So you have to have a band that number one will draw, but also is cost effective. So it's a double-edged sword. So when you get into the Hinders and the Candle Boxes, and even to a certain extent, the Scott Stapps of the world, they work out, but there's not as many around that. That's why, you know, we kind of, and even with the pandemic, going into 2020, we had Hinder and Candle Box. Well, 2020 didn't happen. So we rolled those dates over to 2021. Well, 2021 didn't happen. Hinder stayed on, Candlebox dropped off. So at probably, it was, I think, maybe even not even a month before we were to announce. Well, the season's already begun. Everything's already. So not that Living Color was a bad band by any means, but, you know, it was the best of a bad situation to where Living Color was available and we gave it a shot. I mean, it was fine. It were, you know, not that it didn't, but, you know, we normally have everything done that fall.
Mm-hmm.
For the following summer.
Yeah. I mean, you're booking out 6-8 months prior.
At least, yes.
Yeah. And people don't realize that. They think you're just putting these all together. Well,
so for me, it's, you know, what direction do I want to go? You know, how much do I want to pull my hair out type thing? Like, how big do you want to go? Mm-hmm. You know, how, you know, what's the weather pattern been like? What's, you know, type thing. And, you know, there's a lot of things that play into that. I think we have a very, very good lineup this year for the rib burn off. The Clark's on Thursday, June 22nd. Fuel. Mm-hmm. Fuel hasn't been around from the last time we've done them. And I think it was 08. Fuel's headlining Friday night. And then the Gin Blossoms are on Saturday.
Oh, that'll be so a great really show. Oh, my God. The whole weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very good. Very happy about that. So,
how do you know who you're going to bring to the area? Do you start looking to say, okay, like you said, they haven't been here in a while? Or do you just go through an agency that says, okay, here's who I have. Here's, you know, the shows that are
I kind of have an idea of who I want to go after. Usually right after the rib burn off, because people are, you know,
talking.
Yeah. Where you see concert shirts, you know, so you know where you're pulling from, you know. So I, you know, Hinder did very well. I think Fuel is an extension of Hinder in that general audience as far as that goes. That's, you know, Fuel is available. So we grab them. And Candlebox, you know, Scott Stapp, Creed, those guys have always done very well. So why not
the gym? Why not try it? Yeah.
So, you know,
it's been a minute since they've been around here.
Wow. A long time. Yeah. It's good. Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. So when bands are coming around, of course they have a writer, and of course their writers, they want this, they want these, the best juices and the best foods and the best, when you're getting these writers and you're, what are some of the most obscure things you have ever seen on some of these contracts coming back?
You know what? After my first concert was in 2003 at the Cellar. I did Seven Mary Three.
Okay.
I was very young in the concert business, so I got everything on. You know, I actually went shopping myself. I mean, literally, I got everything on the rider, and then the night of, they didn't want half of it. So I'm like, wow, okay. So to be honest with you, I get the rider, I forward it to Frankie, or Bubba, or whoever, and I don't even see it. But then again, to say I get the end result after the show, like I hear all the stories after the show. I never hear it, you know, when something, you know, goes on or something isn't right, or it wasn't there was a brown M&M in the bag that shouldn't have been in there, you know, type thing. But I always hear the good stories afterwards, you know. A good story I could tell you is we were all on this Bret Michaels kick in the mid-2000s, you know, 2014, 2015. Mm-hmm. We had done Vince Neil and Bret Michaels back-to-back in Salem. And I remember the owner of the drag strip, we had the facility where we had the concert at, he supplied us with the generators. Now the place for Bret Michaels was packed. And I'm way at the end where where no one's at. I'm just sitting there like, you know, want to watch the show for a few minutes before whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the drag strip came up to me, put his arm around me, goes, just want to let you know, the red light, the alert light on the generator's on, probably water in the gas, but just letting you know, make sure everything's. And then Brett goes on.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
oh, no,
you're in the middle of nowhere. There are no resources. I mean, you have to bring in water. You're bringing in power. You're bringing in, you know,
everything.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I had just gotten done with a Huck and Philbilly fiasco where they, and so I'm just getting my arms around that, you know, where, you know, Jimmy and from the Huck and Philbilly, and Bret Michaels' team get into it. And they actually pull the plug on Jimmy early. That, which I'm sure you heard the story.
I do remember that.
So then that was a whole thing. So you're making sure everybody's okay. And then the track owner, like nothing, you know, that emergency light's on, but I think it's just water in the, you know, gas. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, why would you tell
what
me
next?
That?
What next?
Like, why would you say that? You know, but, that's, yeah. So that's, you know,
and everything went off without a hitch.
Actually it did. Yeah.
That's good.
It was good.
That's good. Yeah. Now you and Bret Michaels are like the best of buds though, aren't you?
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. I mean, doing the big sheds now and everything like that. But, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with him twice, and both times came away with a great, you know, I mean, he did everything, you know, we had asked him to do, met sponsors, you know, and everything. It was really nice time. Yeah.
Now who's hard to work with?
You'll never see, Stone Sour was rough, which is Corey Taylor. Corey and I don't really,
Don't see, hit it. Don't hit it off for a while.
And the only reason being is I think when you go into a concert setting, you have my guys,
mm-hmm.
then you have the tour manager and their guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have an ego. I could care less. I try and, you know what I mean? But when those two come together, it's who has the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's like that. But you know, who has, you know, pounds their chest the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
And
your boys do.
Well,
they're good guys. I love
you know,
them.
I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, like I said, I work with the best people. In the
you
business.
Do.
I
you are lucky. You're fortunate.
If I didn't have a Frankie, if I didn't have a Bubba, you know, if I didn't have, you know, the support of, you know, their employees and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
We wouldn't nearly, you know, be as successful as we are. But in the same aspect, you know, the fans in this area have some great promoters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go outside to Akron, Canton. I mean, you go anywhere. I mean, you know, hats off to everybody that does shows in this market, because, you know, a lot of times it doesn't go the way we want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you lose money. But I mean, you have promoters in this market that are willing to, you know, take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that way in a lot of markets. I'll tell you, get a lot of shows, you know, that a lot of other markets would love to have, but don't get, you mm-hmm. know, type thing.
So. Now you do a lot of concerts, but you also, you do a lot of swap meets too.
Yes.
People probably don't realize you're behind all that as well.
We took over the Dave and Ed's swap meets at Canfield and Canton. I love it. It's just,
I know you do.
It's a totally 360 from what we do, what our, mm-hmm. you know, core is. But it's a lot of fun. We do about 25,000 people, over 3 days and about 4,000 vendors at the Canfield Fairgrounds.
Wow.
We actually just sold the fairgrounds out, and all we have left is the track. That's it. And
coming this summer.
Coming at the end of April.
You're kidding
me.
And
we've already sold over 200 spots on the track. Yes.
So there's no more. So all that they really can do is
the track.
Once
you get there, then the track. The nice thing with that is it's so much fun. But I mean, if you're looking for car parts, if you're looking for tools, if you're looking for shop equipment, collectibles, tires, anything and everything automotive related, it's there.
If people want to get a hold of you for sponsorships or for advertising, because 4,000 people.
Well,
are
you've been
kidding?
There. You've seen it.
I know. I've been there.
Like, what is
We've been
this?
Driving around the golf cart.
Yeah, the golf carts. Yeah. AutoEvents.com is our website for that, or it has all the information there, email, phone number to the office and whatnot. We do three of those, and actually four now in Canfield. We do one in Canton. So we have six actually total swap meets. Yeah. Throughout the years.
And you're doing Pittsburgh too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Sheesh.
Right.
You're busy.
Busy guy.
So then from that, as I'm driving around on a golf cart, I see, you know, a toy vendor, diecast, you know, and then I see a G.I. Joe guy, and it got me thinking. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I think we can do a toy show.
Oh, no.
So I started those last year.
Uh-huh.
So we do two toy shows a year, which are, you know, new and vintage toys from the 80s, 70s, 90s. You know, so say, for instance, you love Cabbage Patch Kids and you mm-hmm. had one when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can go to this toy show and buy a Cabbage Patch Kid or a WWF LJN, you know, wrestling figure or Teenage Mutant Turtles. And actually, we just sold the building out for our April 15th show. That big, you know, event center.
Oh my gosh.
There, that building is a godsend. It's great. Then we have Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, signing autographs. He'll be there. And then actually, he's giving away his belt. So it's good.
Jeez, Corey. Right.
Yeah, it's good.
What else you got going on?
Then, aside from the end of June is tricky, because the 22nd through the 24th, we have the Rib Burnoff in mm-hmm. Boardman. Then after that, I have the Youngstown Comic Con. We took that over. That's July 8th and 9th in Canfield at mm-hmm. the fairgrounds. Then the week after that, we have a swap meet, July 15th, 16th, and 17th. So it's kind of a rough patch there where it's going to be all...
you're not going to be sleeping much.
All hands mm-hmm. on deck, you know, big things. So.
What a lazy slacker.
You know, it's like, you know, do something. And then Justine calls, she's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing.
What are you doing Thursday at 5:30? Come on down. Let's talk.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. You know? But yeah. And then I get to work again with, you know, Frankie.
Bubba.
So it's a different event, but the same, you know, type thing. So it's nice.
We have request lines that they can call in.
I didn't start the phones yet. You want me to get on that?
No.
Hey, how about this? If you want to call, put it in the chat, and then I'll turn the phone lines on.
There you go. Yeah. We could hear from Bubba. We can hear some Frankie. Yeah. We're just reeling it in. Because
I'm out of my wheelhouse. I don't really do this stuff. Yeah, let's turn on the phone lines.
And you're doing so amazingly well.
If anybody knows me, I'm the most quiet, behind, you know, person.
You're behind the scenes.
I like it.
Things happen.
Quiet.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So coming up, let's say April, from April on, you've mentioned some of the things you've got going on, but then you don't slow down. You keep going. Yeah, so then July, August, you're booking again for the following year.
Yeah. In addition to September, we have a swap meet. And then November, we're in Canton. And then back down here in Canfield with a toy show. And then in December, actually, we booked another swap meet. We ran a swap meet February 25th in the event center. And it was great. I mean, it was phenomenal. So we booked another one in December.
Jeez.
So the swap meet employees give me till like December 7th, and that's kind of it. Mm-hmm. Because then you're booking for
the next year.
Yeah. So the phone's already ringing for renewals for the following shows. Mm-hmm. And then I have a direction where we're going for the rib burn off for 2024. You know, so it's already kind of,
you're already thinking.
Yeah. It's already, you know, who's played this year, who is going to be playing this year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you don't want to, you know, they're already coming this year, then, you know, type thing. But yeah, I have a direction next year where we're going to go. You have to. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's good.
So are you still looking for security and you guys are all, I mean, you're expanding, and with 4,000 people, Bubba's going to need help.
Yeah, he Bubba's new name is, he is now the authority. He's Corporate Bubba now.
Corporate Bubba.
You got a new job.
Yeah, I heard about it.
That's right. So he's now the authority.
Uh-huh.
That's his.
He's his the man. Thing.
Yeah,
the man.
He is. And I couldn't be happier for him. I mean, he's just a great guy, and his guys, like I said, couldn't do without him. We're talking parkers, mm-hmm. ticket takers, parts runners, mm-hmm. Even on the concert end of it, you know,
it's constantly running.
Constantly something, you know, I mean, for what it takes to, you know, like I said, if I didn't have a good crew, you know, with me, like, you know, my aunt is a ticket taker sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, my cousin Nick, you know, couldn't do without any of those guys.
Yeah.
Just very lucky to have a good crew that we work with, type thing. So, you know, they know what they're doing and mm-hmm. don't need babysat. And even the fairgrounds, I love working with them. I mean, they're just,
Bev's awesome.
Bev is the best.
She's amazing.
She really is. I tell you, just makes it easy for me.
It does.
You know, just a peach to work with. I mm-hmm. generally love working with them all. And the facilities are amazing. That building they have has been a long time coming. I mean, for someone like me, I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean,
your eyes are lighting up.
Yeah.
I had no idea how big that sucker was.
Yeah.
It's a very big building.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the area needed something like that. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I can want to book as many shows as I can there. A lot of different, you know, type, you mm-hmm. know, trade shows type thing. You know, the toy shows are great. They're very well received. We're going to try our hand at the Comic-Con. Then if that works out well, we'll do two in 2024. So we'll have that on, you know, type thing. But yeah, it's great. You know, love it.
You've got the wheel rolling now. It's the Corey Ward wheel, is what I like to call it. This is your wheelhouse. You know this. How long did it take you to perfect what you're doing? Are you constantly still growing and thinking, okay, I'm not going to do this. This didn't work. Or do you know you got a groove going?
You know, it took a while. It really did. It very hard to break into the business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, you know, totally different in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I would go to, you know, the rib burn off, and my eyes were just like, wow, mm-hmm. this is great. You know, mm-hmm. Funny story, actually, I remember, Dominic Maragona is just the king of promotions. I mean, just, you know, I learned so much from him,
mm-hmm.
and not only how to plan and execute an event, but sponsorship, you know, how to promote. He was just, you know, the best, right? You know, just a great guy in and out. So I remember at the Rib Burnoff in Niles, I had called him. And again, this is probably 2000, 2001. I said, I have some wrestlers in town. And I bring him down. And he goes, sounds good. I had King Kong Bundy, Mabel, and Jake the Snake Roberts. Well, and this is when I really learned, you know, like, so what happened was Jake ended up getting drunk one night and ran into, got in a car wreck.
Oh, no.
Left the scene, was coming to the Rib Burnoff with cops behind him. And I, my mouth dropped and Dominic's looking at me and I'm like, oh, wow. Oh boy. You know, and this ended up being the top news story all week. It must've been a slow news weekend because it didn't stop. So, that ends and everything like that. He gets arrested, whatever.
Oh geez.
So the next morning I'm like, I ain't coming. This is it for me. He's going to freak, you know? And, he called me, goes, hey, I'm like, hey, Dom, I go, I just really wanted to apologize. He goes, well, this is great. We're on top story of the whole. You can't buy this. He goes, he's innocent, Corey, until proven guilty. And right there, I was like, you know what? He's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 100% right. And so I called the guys. I'm like, oh, we're going to, you know. And Jake was still having trouble. I don't know, you know. So I just, but the rest of the guys came down. And then Jake ended up coming Sunday, I believe it was, for an hour or two. And then he was gone.
Aww.
Gone. But I learned, and he was, but I mean, it was true. Uh-huh. And it was like, you know, he was top story. And if I'm not mistaken, because I remember Michael Stanley played and it was a huge crowd. I just, the whole weekend was just, you know, and I'm like, wow. And I was like, well, it's, you know, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he spun it to where, you know, and that's what a, you know, good promoter does, I think, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you have to spin something bad into something good. You know that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you know. So, you know.
I'll tell you what, and even talking about some of these people that have passed, it's like you're going to miss them, especially coming up in the summers. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it just doesn't seem like, you know, a summer without hearing Michael Stanley somewhere. So, right. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be. Yeah. But that's what we have you for, to fill that void.
I only promoted Michael Stanley one time.
Yeah.
And I remember his handshake.
Yeah.
Like a gorilla.
Yes.
When he grabs you and I'm like, whoa, you know, we did a Rib Burnoff in Salem one time, actually. I think it was probably 2008. We did a Candlebox and Michael Stanley. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, but it was what it was. I mean, you know, that was one of the times you're like, oof, I was like, what was I thinking? Mm-hmm. Not because of the bands, but you know, for Rib Burnoff, you have to be in traffic areas on, you know, 224 Columbiana, where all that stuff is. You know, just somewhere along, you know, where there's traffic, where there's foot, you know, people.
A footprint, and, yeah.
So that was kind of like, okay, let's put this on hold. You know, we'll come back, revisit it. And, you know, we brought it back in 2018. So.
And you're so glad that you did.
I am, actually. It's
And it has grown.
It has grown. It's good. Like, you know, we started it, you know, from scratch in 2018. And I got a lot of help, I'll be honest with you, from Sean from Barry Dingles. I went to high school with Sean. Sean's a great guy. Helped me in the beginning, you know, get the rib vendors. Here's what you do. Here's what, you know, because he was on the circuit forever with armadillos.
That's true.
So,
that's
true. You know, so I, a lot of, you know, hats off to him for helping, you know, get it off the ground. I mean, it took a massive effort from a lot of people. You know, now it's, we're turning rib vendors away. You know, we have.
That's a good problem.
It is. You know, we have Carolina Rib King out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. Solomon's just a great guy, and he's just, he's a heavy hitter. Mm-hmm. When he comes in, you know Solomon's in town.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Texas Outlaws, which are actually out of Kentucky. I don't know why they're Texas Outlaws, but they're out of Kentucky. Desperados, which is out of Hinckley, Ohio, which is a local, and then PD, who has Off the Bone, is from Alabama. So those are the four we have come in this year. I think four is good. I mean, why would you need more than, you know, we've had up to eight. And all it is eight headaches, you know, with, you know, type thing. But the facility at the Southern Park Mall is just great. You know, hats off to the mall for building a facility. You know, the power's there, so I don't have to mess with generators and, you know, because those, it's just, that's, you know.
Yeah. It's just water in the gas tank. That's all. Just,
you know what I mean? Big, like, no who big. Says that? I mean, literally, you know, and I'm carrying that with me since 2014. Like, who does that? You know what I mean?
He did.
And then you hear Jimmy La, and then you hear nothing. I'm like, now what is going on?
Oh.
And they
Did you have a contingency that if it did go out, what you were going to do?
You probably
no.
did know.
No, no, that, no was, that was the problem. I'm like, wow, you know, like, that's going to be a problem.
Uh-huh,
you know, and then I thought about it for a minute, but then he went right in, you know, and it's like, it's going to be what it'll be, you know, you know, type thing. But yeah, who says that? You know, right? I mean, it's just one of many that, you know, boy, that you... was...
had to be a deer in headlights when you got that. Yeah.
Fortunately, I mean, it was a racetrack, so there was some gearhead there that could have figured that out, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, you know, this is, we're talking Quaker City, and yeah. this stage is in a field.
Literally it is. It's literally in a field.
Like, nothing's around it. There's no water you can tap into. We had to bring in the water, you know, generators and whatnot.
I'm sweating just going through this.
Yeah, porta-johns.
Like, I think if we had to use generators for the rib burn-off, I don't know if I'd still do the rib burn-off.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like generators.
They're scary.
I remember and loud. 2019, Hinder's getting ready to take the stage, and we know the rain's coming. So it had rained earlier, and we're tracking the rain. So I'm like, okay, you know, so Hinder goes on. And out of the peripheral left, the whole side goes out. Every rib bender on the left-hand side. And I'm like,
oh, no.
You know? And it was just a hiccup on the generator. Frankie ran over, turned the key, started right up again. And I'm like,
Frankie saved the day.
You know what I mean? But, you know, and it's like, oh, that, you know, and I know Frankie or whoever's listening, they're like, oh, I remember that. You know, just you see this whole side. French fries, cone, you know, corn dogs, rib benders. Right as soon as, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, it's like Chevy Chase sitting there, you know, with Christmas Vacation, sees it out of the corner of his eye, a little flash with the cat. And I'm like, what now? Like, what could it be? You know, but that's the risk you run as far as going into a parking lot. They call it, you know, like you're building a city.
Oh, and actually, you do. You
know,
yeah.
It's true, you know, but we like to have fun doing it. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's good times. It's fun. I mean, you know, it's gotten a lot easier.
I'm sure it has. Yeah. Like I said, you've probably got a way that you're doing things and this worked, that didn't work, and we're going to do this and we're going to try that. And
yeah, most of the times, I mean, there's a method to the madness, but sometimes it's just inevitable that there's just always
something happening and you've just got to be ready.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, it's what it is. And if you're an engineer, this isn't going to work for you. You know, like I said, I love my cousin like a brother. He's an engineer, and he does a lot for me, especially at the swap meets. He runs the office for me. And if something goes haywire, it's over. And I have to take just that to the away. Next level. And, you know what I mean? And just walk rile away. Him up a little bit and get it going. But
the
you know,
day before an event, he has 3,000 hypotheticals going through his head. And what he would do.
He does. 100%. He methodically thinks every curveball. Every curve.
But the funny thing is I saw Joe at the rib burn-off last year. Cool call. Joe, my man, come this way, you know? All right. Enjoy the show.
Uh-huh. Wasn't you sweating, know? Look all you calm know? As could be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was good. Yeah.
But Corey's like that. Under pressure, I think you do the best, don't you?
I try. I don't let it get to me. I mean, you can't.
You can't.
It's gonna be
He's got the
be.
Perfect temperament for a promoter. He really
does. Like, he truly does.
Like you're not gonna, you know, get me going. Like Frankie will say otherwise, because I like snapped on him about some water thing last year. I'm like, Frankie, where is the water? Like, here's the line and it's not moving. But I know, and I felt so bad. Like the week after, I'm like, Frank, I'm sorry, buddy. I don't know how to do it, you know. But he was just like, sorry, buddy. You know? And Frankie's just a great dude, like my brother. I mean, he's just, you know, and I'm like, man, I felt bad. Sorry about the water line. I didn't realize it was right there. All you had to do was you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this big, huge snake. Of,
long you know, cord yeah, type just, thing. You
know, like my bad. You
know. He's good under pressure too.
Yeah.
He's very good. Okay. I got to work with him at the Canfield Fair. He did a lot for me out there. I love you, Frankie. He knows that. But he's just
I'm
makes
you
it
funny,
happen.
I'm going to give you a funny story. So we had Scott Stapp from Creed come in 2019. It's the rib burn-off. And he hated the tour manager for Scott Stapp. And I didn't hear it till afterwards. Like those two just boom, boom. I mean, it was bad. It was a bad backstage scene. Mm-hmm. I stayed away. I went up front, you know? So
I stayed away.
No, I did. Well, that's my thing. Like, I don't I'm it's business. It you know is. What I mean? Mm-hmm. As long as there's a butt every 18 inches, I've done my job, and I've done my job for everybody. I've done my job for the vendors. I've done my job for anybody else that's making money that weekend.
Right.
But I don't speak that lingo. You know, when you come in a Cheap Trick shirt, you got a tour pass hanging off your side from 1988. I'm sorry. I just don't, yeah. You know, that's yeah. just not my thing. But so Frank and his tour manager just went at it. And I'm like, whoa, yeah, this is all right. You know, mm-hmm. yeah, stand your ground, you know. And I walked up there and stuff like that. And he goes, please, next year, don't, please. No Scott Stapp, please. Because I have a habit of, if it works, you know what I mean?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Brett Michaels, you're like, hey, I did the deal with Brett Michaels that night. Like that night for the following year. Yeah, it was, you know, shook hands. All right. And so we have Fuel coming this year. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you believe it? The tour manager for Fuel is the same as Scott Stapp.
No.
I took a picture of the guy's Facebook page and I text Frankie right before I came down here. I can't tell you what he replied, but you know, he was not happy.
Oh Ooh. My God.
What are the odds of that?
There is, yeah.
Great. He put two words, you know, and I was like, man,
oh, I can imagine what those words were. Oh.
But I mean, like, what are the odds? Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. That was good. I got a good laugh out of that.
So was Scott good to work with?
I think he was great.
Yeah.
Great.
So the stories about him aren't true.
You know, a little different. I think the Huck and Philbillies opened. I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure.
I could see that. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that they did, but there was no booze at the backstage area. They wanted none of it. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's a recovering alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So with all those variables in the sky, Frankie, tour manager, no booze, Huck and Philbillies, you know, I'm uh-huh. like, you know what, I'm just probably gonna stay up front type thing. You know? Well, just, you know, and it's even best. Though my office trailer was back there, it's like, man, geez, I really don't want to, you know, be back there, like, for right. what, you know?
Right.
And I thought he was great. Short.
Short.
Very short guy. Life was great. The whole family. No, but I mean, like, no, I mean, you're no thinking offense. Like a rocker. you know what I'm right. saying? I mean, this right. is a guy that, you know, all those songs, I mean, he's, you know, short.
Short.
Very short. Yeah. But wife was a peach. They all rate ribs. I remember that. Snapped a quick photo with him, and that was it.
And that was it.
That was it. He was gone.
Now, who's your favorite bring into town? I know I'm putting you on a spot.
Like the one I had most fun with, or
yeah, best stories
for different. Fun. Like I remember, Candlebox got thrown out of their hotel when we had him at the Wedge, so they ended up staying at my house.
What? Yeah, well, oh, tell the story.
It was 4th of July weekend.
Okay.
They were at a hotel in Austintown, and for whatever reason, I don't know why, they wanted to grill out. Okay. So they grilled out on their little
hibachi type thing.
Yeah, oh, right geez. Outside. Well, that was it. And yeah. That was it. So there was no, well, you couldn't get him anywhere. So I'm like, all right, stay at my house, I guess, you know. And that was that. I mean, literally, like, you know, man, you know, that was, yeah.
But there's nowhere else. They stayed at your house.
Yeah. There's nowhere else to, I mean, it was 4th of July weekend. Everything was gone. And that was the Wedge. And it was a great show. And I remember Wes Styles, Rock 104. Corey Candlebox isn't Rock 104. I'm like, I bet it is. And it was.
Mm.
Yep. So every time I see him, mm-hmm. you know, which isn't very often much, but it's like, remember that Candlebox show? He goes, I know. Each of them, I really don't like mess with them a lot too much. No? That's like where, you know, Frankie and a Bubba and everybody.
There's a separation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's somebody that I really enjoy, you know, like Snoop Dogg, for instance.
Snoop is he your bud?
Yeah, he's not snooping. What you he's not what you I mean, he's Snoop's business.
Yes,
he's straight,
he's all about the business.
And you know how I got that show?
No, but I bet you're gonna tell.
The Steelers, when they had won the Super Bowl, they had had a party at Point State Park. Okay. Snoop's a big Steelers fan, so he was down there, and I ended up bumping into him. Company that I knew was running sound for all the shows down there that weekend, and Snoop was there. I bumped into him and I said, hey, man, I have a club in Youngstown. Love to have you play. And he goes, hit my agent up. Well, I knew his agent because I dealt a couple times with, you know, the rock acts that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And quick, did a deal.
Get out.
It was, you know, the most upside down deal I've ever done. Just because what he was paid.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I knew it would sell out. But it's like, oh, how could you? It's Snoop. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, it was good. He knew the crowd. He played his old stuff.
Nice.
He actually cooked in the kitchen some wings. Wow. You know, asked if I wanted some. I declined. But, you know,
wow. Like,
you know, eat anything out of that kitchen. But, you know what I mean? Well, the thing's been there for, you know, I mean, who knows? Yeah. But, yeah, so that was but a great guy. But, I mean, straight up 100% total business. Mm. I mean, and he's not what you see on TV. It's really not. I mean, it's business.
It's business.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Now, when you're booking your bands and you're booking rock or there's hip hop, which do you feel pulls a better crowd in?
Definitely rock.
Rock?
Without a doubt. There's more, you know, you have like take, for instance, the Wolf 93.3, who, you know, we're partnered with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play Fuel.
Yes.
You know, that's where we have mix for, you know, the Gin Blossoms. Mm-hmm. But most of those songs that you hear on the Wolf, you know, we've had them in town.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're coming to town. Mm-hmm. You know, type thing. So, but with you know, like a Kiss station or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you're getting into a little bit more pricier, you know, like you could never get Snoop Dogg into a Wedge type building anymore.
Right.
I mean, those days are, you know,
those are gone.
We had Breaking Benjamin play the Wedge. We had actually, we were just talking about this the other day. We had Shinedown, the original members of Saliva, and Hillstorm play the Wedge in 2009.
Wow. You could never do that again.
Never.
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 You could never.
Never. And that's, you know, Stone Sour, even I'm the biggest fan of Corey Taylor. You could never get them into the, you know, it was just a magical, you know, 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. We were the first ones to do Buck Cherry when that song Crazy Bitch was number one. In the summer of 2006, we were able to get him into the Wedge. Yeah. And that was
Do that again.
Oh, and that was my first show at the Wedge. Mm-hmm. And, it was supposed to be a one time only, like, hey, and funny thing with that was I remember, a couple guys who were sitting outside the Wedge and someone had said, hey, I sent Buck Cherry a message through their through their website.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I had no intentions of doing anything other than just hanging out and kind of more so a dare than anything else, you know. And the funny thing was, is for anybody that remembers in 2006 when Buck Cherry played the Wedge, it was between us and Salty Groggs. Buck Cherry actually considered playing Salty Groggs.
Wow.
Swear to God, true story.
Salty Groggs was so little inside.
I don't know how they would have, but there was a
parking lot outside.
Yeah, there was a middleman promoter involved.
Okay.
You know, so it was kind of like, and I had always done, like I said, Seven Mary Three prior and the Verve Pipe. I did the Verve Pipe at the Plaza Cafe. And I had a friend in Michigan that was a promoter for concerts.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd lean on him a little bit, you know, type thing. And but that's how we got it, you know, the Buck Cherry show. But I had to pay everything in advance. I actually had the whole show, everything in advance before I could even announce to sell a ticket.
Yeah. Wow.
Everything. No joke. But then after that was it.
Hmm.
And then we actually brought them back in November of that year with Crossfade. And then after that, then it was really like, you know, then we did Breaking Benjamin, then Papa Roach, then it was just boom, 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 you know, type thing. It was great. I had a really good time with it. Fun.
Now, who all have you brought to the area? And then we're going to see if people are going to start listing who they want you to bring back. I was like, oh, I remember that concert. Yeah. That was great.
Boy, Joe, I got to hats off to you, my man. This is so sophisticated.
Look at that.
I know. Look at that. See who's all, you know? This is
Vinny?
Great.
So we went up to YSU the other day and we interviewed some of the college kids and we said, what kind of entertainment would you love to see brought to the area?
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them said rap, hip hop. So who would
really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who would you even put on that stage for that age group?
Actually, you know what? There is one band that I'm like, oh, this would be a good rib burn off. So I don't know if I want to say it because you know what I mean. It's
just active.
We won't tell.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like this thing's like voice texting. You know.
Right.
But there's I'm a huge nostalgic guy. Uh-huh. I mean, people love nostalgia. They do. You know, and I think you know, the Snoop Dogs of the world, or you know, like an Ice Cube, things of that nature type thing, you know.
Are you giving us clues?
No, actually, okay. I'm going the other way, actually, okay. Trying to cover my tracks.
Red herring here. Pull us off.
See?
That's how you know something's in the works.
I got you.
If my wife's listening, she goes, I know. Is he listening? You know, type thing. So, yeah, but I mean, but again, there are a lot of factors, a lot of variables, a lot of, you know what I mean, type thing. But like with the Snoop show, it worked out because he was smart enough to book 3 shows. Mm. Toledo had the first show that year, and we did Snoop 2010. I heard horror stories. He was watching the NBA game that night. He played Thursday or Friday, or we had a Saturday or a Friday. I know we had a Friday or Saturday, but I know that he was watching the NBA game. He didn't go on until late. So I'm like, ooh. But I knew he was in town.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I know he's in town, it's going to be what it'll be.
Yeah.
So we were up second. Then Pittsburgh was third. And he flew back out to California. So scheduled for 8. He went on at 8:01.
Wow.
Wow.
All business.
And he stayed after, you know, anybody that wanted pictures in the back area, you know, it's contained.
Yeah.
You know, got pictures. And he was just, and me and J-Dub actually have a picture of J-Dub.
Nice.
You know, we're like, you know, and that was it. And then I was done, and
you were done
out of there.
You're like, I'm out.
I was I did not have nothing to drink because it was that night. I have to tell you, was one of the most for me anyways, because you have a lot, you know, the township's concerned, you know, everybody's like, you know, it's tight, you know, type thing. And you know, the atmosphere, I mean, it was a great party time after once it started, but for me it was, you know, I mean, you had to play by the rules that, you know, that time. I mean, I'm not saying there are instances where, you know, we've went capacity maybe a little bit over on a rock show, but this is totally different. You have all eyes watching, you know, so it's like, you know, you dot your T's, cross your I's type
and
thing.
And pray.
So, yeah, yeah. It's, you know.
But, no generators. No, nothing.
No, that's, you know, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. Like, I sweats about that.
I don't blame you on that one. Yeah.
Who says that, though? I'll let you know, I would have never known.
He still has anxiety on this with him. Right now.
I would have never known, and you know,
it's not sitting right with you at all. Man, still, but you pulled it off.
Yeah, it's because there was probably water in the fuel, which
probably in the fuel.
You know,
yeah,
you didn't need to tell me that.
Hail Mary. You know,
I know it was. You know, it was. Yeah, it was good.
So, in moving forward. And I'm thinking, and Youngstown, we're kind of, I don't want to say we're behind, but we're behind.
We like what we like.
Yes.
And that's that.
We, even if it's
like, I mean,
80s hair, yeah, stuff like that.
Like if it's Blue Oyster Cult playing the Niles Ray Burnoff, it's what it is. If it works, we'll do it again.
And people will support it.
And people will support it. And they will, you know.
First time they heard it.
Yeah, type thing. But like I said, you know, and looking back on it, you know, there are promoters in this market that take a chance, you know, and we're all friends, you know, and it's nice. It's refreshing to where, you know, I don't have to look over my shoulders and neither do
it's
any of them.
It's not cutthroat.
If I throw out a fishing line for a bid and I snag it and someone else is also, and I'm like, you know what? No problem. Or the other promoter will back off or whatever the case may be. But, you know. It's nice where you don't have that a lot, and it's nice.
That
you
is
know,
nice.
You know, it's not as cutthroat as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to do my own thing, you know, totally, you know, different, you know, it's not a part of something. It's my thing. You know, if I want to sit on the couch, I'll sit on the couch. If I want to do something, I'll go up and do it, you know, type thing. But yeah, it's nice. You know,
was there one band that you just couldn't get and you still can't get to this day and you want them here? And, you just couldn't make it work?
not really. No.
Corey gets what he wants.
Thinking, no, I'm thinking like at the Wedge days, like there were two bands that I was hot to get at that time, which was Seether and 3 Days Grace.
Uh-huh.
I ended up getting Seether. Mm-hmm. And then we did for the Rock 104 birthday bash, we did 3 days.
Remember that? Yeah.
And so, I mean, as far as those go, I mean, you know, we were close on 30 Seconds to Mars a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Very close.
Yeah.
Very close at that time. There were a couple, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, a while ago that, you know, like on my computer, you see offer sheets with all these bands and whatnot. You know, a bunch of people, you know, we did Alter Bridge. Everybody, a lot of people want Alter Bridge back, you know. That's, you know, yeah, a different type thing. But not really. There really wasn't too many alternative rock ones that, you know, we couldn't pull off,
yeah,
you know, type thing. So, yeah, to answer your question, they're really not on that front. No, sorry to disappoint, but yeah.
Now I'm gonna pull a cat out of a bag.
Here we go. She was waiting on this one.
Right? No, it's just career changes. So when you first started getting into the promotional end of it, you were still working in a restaurant. You were still doing.
I actually still am.
Are you still? I thought you were done.
Nope.
No, you kept your foot in it.
I like it. You know what I mean? Like it's you know, it's a good time. You know, I've always been there. And I mean, I'm not saying it won't ever come to an end, but you know, it's, I think it keeps me young,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're dealing with a lot of different people, but in the same aspect, you're around, like, I don't mm-hmm. know if I would be around as much if I, you know, in, you know, the restaurant or whatever type thing, but, and then you just meet so many different people. Type thing.
Oh yeah.
What restaurant is this? I'm in the dark here.
Chili's.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know?
I had no idea.
Oh, I knew something you didn't know.
Yeah. Actually, that's why we would sell tickets out of there.
Okay. Okay.
So I knew, like with Snoop Dogg, it sold like that. It was gone. Like we had a line wrapped around. So for 45 minutes, they just pressed the ticket button. So I knew it was.
And I bet Chili's has no problem with you doing this.
Yeah. That's where a lot of the like Saturday night car shows and bike nights, a lot of different events, you know, in the mall property, you know, a great deal of that is because of my association with Chili's.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to meet the mall. I was able to, you know what I mean? All those other things. So it worked out really well, you know.
Good.
Type thing.
Good. Yeah. You just have your thinkers and everything though, but that's a good thing. Yeah. You've got the pulse of Youngstown and
trying. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, and the funny thing is we were talking the other day is there's no young up and comers. I mean, there isn't, you know, like I said, when, you know, you had, you know, Dominic, you know, in his day and everything like that, you had myself and you also had, you know, Eric Ryan coming up and Kenny Bigley and, you know, you have Ken Hyderis and whatnot. And, you don't have that anymore. And I don't know, you know, I don't know where I would start if I was just starting out.
You have no mentors.
Well, yeah, because it's such a closed circuit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if a show's coming to Youngstown or wants to come to Youngstown, you know, they'll call down, you know, Cavelli Center, you know, they'll call Warren, you know, call me, whatever, you know, but it's like, you know, I wouldn't even know how to start, you know, mm-hmm. it's been, you just, you know, keep going and whatnot. But yeah, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. Plus, you don't have a Rock 104 type format station
mm-hmm.
where you have these bands that are new and up and coming, like Breaking Benjamin 10 years ago were playing clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with, you know, 3 Days Grace or a Bush or, you know, all those other bands. I mean, they were playing 1400 seat venues because we've done them all. Now they're playing the sheds, you know, for mm-hmm. 15,000-20,000 people. You know, there are no dropping daylights. There's no, you know, pop evil type bands that, you know, are up and coming that you would do a few free music Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember sitting in Clyde Bass's office where he has these massive Y103s, K105, Hot 101s, and he's messing with this little WWIZ out of Sharon.
Uh-huh.
Tweaking, and I'm like, my man, what are you doing? He goes, oh, we got this free music Monday coming up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, one of J-Dub's funniest stories about Clyde Bass, and he's a vice president of iHeart in Texas mm-hmm. now. J-Dub, meet Hinder, get a chicken wing. You know, and he says it exactly how J-Dub, you ever want to meet Hinder? Get a chicken wing over there. You know? That's why, you know. But it was so funny because he put his heart and soul into that station. And it was great.
It was
great.
I mean, it was.
And it was one of those things where it was so different. It wasn't the classic rock of, you know, what Youngstown was, but it was a different format. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, I remember songs that, you know, turned on the station, like, man, geez, like, wow, I remember that
song. I remember that song.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in a while.
And isn't it amazing how music, when you hear that song, it takes you back to that time, that memory. It could be a good memory, a bad memory, but music just brings you down.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. So are you going to, you're going to buy a place and like Nashville? Nashville has a place where all the new artists start out and everybody wants to be somebody. And I think it's called Blue Note. I could see Corey's wheelhouse.
Sounds good. No, you know what?
No.
My thought process is the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To work to get out.
Oh.
Type thing, you know.
Retire early, right?
Well, I mean, not even so much retire early, but, you know, my philosophy is I work really hard, mm-hmm. but also play very hard.
Right.
You know, when you come to a show, you know, I give it all I possibly can as far as, you know, looking good, you know, the prices are good, mm-hmm. you know, and everything's good. But then the same aspect, you know, my downtime is my downtime type thing. But
I'll tell you, if it wasn't for that stupid generator, we get another 20 years out of it.
See, family. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I go to bed at night. Like,
and he's still thinking about that damn generator.
Or like another one is like the swap meets are very, very early shows. Like, oh, yeah. I'm not kidding. I'm up at 4 a.m. because I have to be there by 5 and I actually unlock all the gates, mm-hmm. but I have to unlock the gates when the employees show up. So gate 1 and 2, Bubba and them are there, and Bubba's always early, which I cannot thank him enough, so that I can open up gate 9. Mm-hmm. Then that leaves Leffingwell Road. There are 3 gates down there. So I run down there, open those 3, but then on the Fairground Boulevard, we run the track. So you're going through the track. Well, I have to have somebody out at the track. So my dream is I don't wake up in time. And I have the keys.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
People are waiting on you and they're mad.
Well, no,
and you're
then,
sleeping.
No, and then what happens is the fairgrounds just say, well, the hell with them, and they open the gates. You know what I mean? But I mean, you know, like I'm like, get up, you know, and I'm late. It's the weirdest dream, but it's, uh-huh. you know, because it's so much like pressure to make sure that, you know, but everything has to be synchronized. And again, it's not just me. It's everybody else that makes it. Mm-hmm. If Bubba's not there in time, or Frankie's not there in time, or somebody, or, you know, some little thing happens, it throws everything off. Mm-hmm. And that's where when you work with a great bunch of guys, I mean, you know, they deserve all the credit type thing. I'm just, you know.
You just put it together.
The guy with the top hat, I guess. That
they do know, all the grunt work. Yeah.
Not grunt work. See, no, that's where.
Frank no, like, they're really? They're out
no,
there.
But they are. I mean, they're grinding it out.
They
it's
are.
Like, you know, but I would never ask somebody to do something I wouldn't do myself. I mean, I love doing parts pickup, sitting mm-hmm. on a golf cart, loading up some tires. You know, I think it's great.
I've been to his events. Yeah. I've been at the gates. I've helped take the money in and all that. And
well organized, I bet.
If you see Bubba and you see Frankie and they're moving and hustling and they're on the walkie talkies and it's nonstop. I mean, you really gotta
it's no joke. So to lighten the mood, have you ever seen Big Lebowski? Yeah.
I didn't see it. Okay. I gotta be the only person that didn't.
So Jesus, who's the ball guy, you know, he goes, "What's this day of rest?" You know, whatever. So I got the good idea. I put on YouTube. We all have walkie-talkies. So I played it on the walkie-talkie. Frankie actually thought there was a fight at a gate. He goes, what gate is this? What's this day? What is this bowl? You know, it was great. And then, you know, and it was funny because now, you know, the other guys try and duplicate me. But that was just the best because no one knew it was coming. And Frankie thought it was so real. Like someone was yelling.
Oh, my God.
You know, because, I mean, literally, you're out, again, in the middle of nowhere. You have these ticket booths mm-hmm. in the middle. I mean, by the time, you know, you walkie-talkie somebody, you know, you're going to get something, whatever is going to happen, it's already happened. This mm-hmm. is just, you know, so nothing more happens. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like, it was good though. It was funny. So I try and as many jokes as possible, or like if I know my cousin Nikki's having a bad day, mm-hmm. I will crank it up as much as I possibly can. Just, I mean, and then if he's at his boiling point, then I'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it'll, you know, calm down, or, you know, Or he's like, man, I've been working really hard today, but I already have 5 pictures of him shopping at the swap meet, you know, mm-hmm. like buying mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm like, right. Really? Really?
Look you what know? You got.
Like, yeah. Like, you know, then you see these parts in the back of his truck or whatnot. I'm like, okay, you know, that's where they were. But it's you know, it's never a dull moment.
I was going to say, you got to have some great stories of stuff that you have seen out, like not even your employees, not even the bands, but the people. When people come out, what's some of the weird things they've done or you've seen or,
you know, like the Jackal night. We did Jackal one night and I want to say 2013, we did Jackal and then Skid Row the next night. And I get a call on a walkie talkie. And again, you're in the middle of a field
mm-hmm.
and the police chief at the time in Salem, you hear, there's about 100 pagans at the gate. what do we do? And I'm like, wow.
You know, motorcycle.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which we had done a biker, you know, band on Friday. Well, they're lined up straight down to the end of the, and I'm like, whoa. I'm like, this is
different. Gonna be something. Yeah.
And when they had, you know, walked in and, you know, I mean, it's like everybody paved the and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, but it was great. I mean, like I said, that was probably the first time we went really outside and it went big and mm-hmm. really, cause it was packed
mm-hmm.
and we all didn't know what we were doing. It may have looked like it, but I have to tell you what, like, that was probably my, roughest night mm-hmm. that I'm glad nothing bad happened mm-hmm. because it very easily could have. It was so packed and, you know, you don't have the sophisticated stuff that you have nowadays to control things. We literally put up a stage in the middle of nowhere
mm-hmm.
and everybody just came to that area.
I know Joe can, you really, you think he's kidding, but you're literally in a cornfield.
Yeah,
no, you cut a path in a cornfield and it's,
yeah.
It's,
and then, but I mean, then we blew off fireworks. I mean, and I got the idea originally from, Michael Ballard's Full Throttle Saloon.
Okay.
That's how I was laying on the couch one day, just laying there like, and I'm like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had, you know, done a car show for years and it was kind of like ran its course. And I'm like, wow, I could do bands out there.
Uh-huh.
That's how I got the idea. Mm. So then we, like I said, Jackal was, they were on True TV. Their show on True TV was the number one show in our market.
Oh,
I mean, it was crazy. The people that are watching this Full Throttle Saloon
uh-huh.
and there are bands that we have done. Theory of a Dead Man's on there, you know, Skid Row, you know, and everything. And I'm like, wow, I can incorporate bands on the largest scale possible. And, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what we had done. We had Vince Neil in 2014. We had Vince Neil and then, Brett, you know, played the next night and, you know, everybody was very nervous about Vince. I don't know why. And I heard horror stories about him playing a show around here years and years, long time ago. And he just left early or whatever. And, but funny story about Vince was he left his Motley Crue jacket. And if I was a janky guy, I could have kept that, but I didn't.
And you gave it back to him.
No, I overnighted it is what I did.
Wow.
Yes. He left his Motley. And this is right before he's getting ready to go on tour. You know what I mean? This is 2014. Yeah. They were doing whatever, the farewell or whatever. And this guy left his Motley Crue jacket.
Hmm. Was he that loaded?
Yeah. I was nervous with
uh-huh,
him
uh-huh.
because I had sponsors and people that wanted to meet him, you know, and
you're afraid he was going to pass out.
Well, not only that, or just, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but he has a guy, by the name of Dana Strum from Slaughter. That's kind of his tour manager. Uh-huh. And Dana's a great guy. Mm-hmm. And Dana makes sure, you know what I mean, that he's on point. So whether he was drunk or whatnot or whatever the case may be with him, he still did what was asked, which I, you know, was grateful for, I mm-hmm. think. But yeah, I mean, so that was a great show, you know.
Man, wow. What a keepsake that would have been.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like I could have been like, I haven't seen it. I don't know
where it went.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like on something like that. You know what I mean? I could have definitely been, you know,
yeah.
Type thing. You know?
You could have never worn it anywhere.
No, but that's the thing. It's like, man, I don't know what I've done with it. But
dude, he would have never remembered where he left it. He would have never known.
That's mm-hmm. what I mean. I could have wore it tonight. I could have, instead of this.
You know, and he could be watching.
Let me tell you a story because it's been how many years?
Right.
Statute of limitations.
Right. Not like I said, Brett Michaels guy's pulling the plug on the Huck and Phillies or anything, you know. And
did they make up? Are they friends now?
What had happened was Jimmy's passionate.
He is.
And
you gotta love him.
He went right after those guys. I mean, literally, mm-hmm. like it didn't stop for 2 seconds, and mm-hmm. he's, you know, and then him and Brett had talked it out and worked it out, and everything was fine. But those were Brett's, you know, tour manager or whoever that just, you know what I mean? Like, let the guy finish the song. You know what I mean?
What'd they do? Just pull the plug on him?
Yeah, pull the plug. Wow. Like that.
I'd be pissed too. Oh, honestly.
Could you imagine?
So I'm thinking generator. You know what yeah. I mean? You know what I mean? Because I'm generator. Walking there. I'm walking and I hear poof, and I'm like,
oh.
And I look over and I'm like, Todd, the lights are still on. And I'm like, all right. And then something else was good. So I was like, okay, you know. And then I get the story afterwards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Jimmy had said some explicitives to Brett. You know,
I could never imagine Jimmy.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and then so after the show, I go to Brett. I go, "Let's do it again." And he goes, "What date?" And we had told him, I think it was June 25th. And he goes, "Make sure your boys are back with me." And I'm like, "Wow,
oh,
okay,
yeah." You know.
So I think I waited a little while. Then I called Jimmy and I said, "Hey, yeah, we're gonna do it again. You want to do it again?" He goes, "Well, how does Brett feel?" I'm like, "Well, actually, he said, you know, you kind of
make sure you're there,
back, you know." I go, "I don't know why, but he asked you to come back, so you know."
Aww.
And then actually did a song together at the end. They all
that would be cool. Out. Yeah, that yeah.
I'm sure it's on YouTube still somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Or on Jimmy's Facebook page, you know.
Probably.
If you flick the lights, his eyes will start twitching.
I'm telling you,
generator. It's that generator thing.
But see, at the mall, they got plug-in power.
Go figure.
You know, and it's fenced in, so nobody's gonna touch it.
Right.
You know what I mean, like. I fence it all in. It's done. You
know? No worries. Yeah. He's not worrying about that. You know He's just I mean? Not losing so, sleep. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I just, like I said, that was one of the funnier. I'm trying to think what other good ones I have for you. So you got to get me, see where we're, while we're talking, it was just, you know, come to me type
you
thing.
You got to drink a little bit.
Yeah, drink a little.
Easier.
Yeah. I probably should.
Yeah, why not? Toast. Here's to 2023 summer.
Thank you. Joe, my man.
Oh, man.
Good times.
I can't wait to see some of these shows that you've got coming to the area. And I want to know who this, we'll get it out of him eventually, who he's thinking of bringing in, maybe.
Yeah, there's, I got it in my mind already. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good.
It's good.
Like it normally, yeah. Like, it's the plan. Yeah.
See, I think when you, and what I was leaning to earlier with my question on this, I think it's everybody knows rock and roll.
Sure.
Whereas you wouldn't take maybe somebody who is into motorcycles and into rock music. You know, rock and motorcycles go together. Sure. That's like a marriage.
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't hear a lot of motorcycles that would listen to maybe Boyz II Men or something current day that, and I'm trying to think who would come to this area.
Those country concerts do really well.
Yes, they do.
I hate country. I can't.
Dude, oh. You have no idea the funny stuff that goes on.
You know,
I know this. I'm a bartender.
Yeah, I never got into it. I don't know. And I'm sure it's bad, you know, on my end, but I just, you know, and the other thing is the pricing. And that's probably, I think, one of the one things that turned me off in the beginning. It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, for nothing.
The country's hot right now.
It's hot right now. That's, you know.
I've heard that the drunkenness and the disorderlies are off the charts. Though.
No,
a little bit.
No,
Pico.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's country. I'm good. I just
no interest in it whatsoever.
Zero.
Wow. Yeah. You look good in a cowboy hat, though.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And probably Brett Michaels was as country as I would ever get. And that's not even
country. And he's not even country.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
Now, there's got to be a good story about Brett Michaels because you've brought him to town a couple of times. You guys have made, you know, amends with fans.
Well, see, for me, yeah. I mean, it's always, you know, good cop, bad cop. I'm always a good cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if something goes wrong,
right.
Bubba will go down there. And if Bubba totally turns it to crap,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm like, hey, you know, we mm-hmm. work it out. I don't know. One or not, but
go ahead.
Okay.
It's uncensored.
I'll just say that I was taken aback by the fact that I left the drag strip on Friday, and Saturday Warrant was playing, and I roll into the drag strip Saturday morning and Brett Michaels' RV was still there. And I'll leave it at that.
Wow.
You can draw your own conclusions.
We don't want them. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm just saying. My man was still there.
Wow. He had a good time.
I think he did.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know with who.
Or what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I'm trying to think what other...
Is there any artist that came to town that you would have said, wow, I pegged that all wrong, didn't see that coming?
You mean as far as selling?
Or personality.
Personality, or stories, behaviors, caught in the act
it's
of.
Dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. I mean, I've heard like some guys after a show say, man, this guy was just a freak. You know, he had like what you heard is true. You know, they had stuff in the backstage area where you couldn't use a restroom. You had to use the restroom in a kitty litter. That's legit.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah, there's a lot of good.
Kitty litter.
Yes, whoa. You had to use kitty litter. You had to.
That is messed up.
No, but it's true. Yeah.
Now, see, I had heard stories. And I don't know how true this is, but if Mariah Carey was in concert, that she wanted to make sure that her toilets were cleaned, so that she wanted to make sure they were wrapped in Saran wrap.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't follow that, but that is one of the things
that's
that
reasonable.
Yeah, she wanted to make sure that they were cleaned, and whether that's true or not, I don't know. But yeah, that's back in the radio biz.
Yeah,
no, that,
yeah, I I don't really. You take people what they are,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like some are just, you can tell like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you just don't want anything to do with them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then there are some that are just, you know, really nice, you know, mm-hmm. whatever type thing. Like, I know the Papa Roach guys real well, Buck Cherry, Candlebox, I know Kevin very well. It's just guys that, you know, are quality people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You take the time to, you know, but then there are some you're just like, My man.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I still have a picture. And this is hilarious. This is how far back we go. Fast Freddy's interviewing the lead singer of Shinedown. There's a Wedgwood pizza on the couch right next to him. And there's me. You know, because, and it was great. I look at that picture. I'm like, you know, this is
you were
so
hungry.
Funny.
Uh-huh.
Well, we were all eating the Wedgwood pizza. Mm-hmm. I was just happened to get snapped with the photo. That's you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Another funny one was, and this got me, was, you know, I paid PM Dawn to come down to the Wedge and play.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was they got snowed in. The Wedge at that time in 07 was a pretty big mm-hmm. nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, unbeknownst to me, stayed the extra night. And they played the Wedge the next night for free for hotel rooms.
What?
And I was like, I can't believe you guys.
That? Yeah,
man, I was like, man, I can't believe that. You know, like you actually stayed.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I got one on me on that one.
Uh huh. Now I've heard of different artists, like when they would come into Covelli, some would stick around, and some would go downtown, and some would party, and some would do. So, who was one of your bands that maybe stuck around and partied after your show was over?
Oh boy. Papa Roach was good for that.
Yeah.
And actually we went to the bowling alley afterward. Okay. You know, Papa, I know we did that once or twice with him. I don't know if you're familiar with Social Distortion or
mm-hmm,
not.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ness. And this was by chance. My brothers were big fans. Mm-hmm. And the agent at the time for Breaking Benjamin also had Social D. So I'm like, okay. I'll bring him in, you know, I'll try and, you know, so we had brought them in and I said, hey, is there any way that my brothers can spend some time with Mike? Mm-hmm. Big fans. So they actually spent the day antiquing.
Get out.
So my brother picked them up, I don't know, 11 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they went to all these different antique places.
Hmm. I'll never forget that.
No. Yeah. And because Wes Styles was a really big Social D fan, you know, and it worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
So he was back by six. You know, we had the big Rock 104 semi at the time out there, and it was good. He ate the Flamin' Ice Cube in Canfield.
Oh wow.
Vegan.
Huh.
Yeah. A lot of bands, you know, Soundcheck and all that other stuff. I remember Sponge played the Rib Burnoff. There he drove from Michigan, came right on stage, played. No sound check.
No sound check, no nothing.
I'm like, Frankie? He goes, I just came, boom. Showed up at 7:40, hit the stage at 8. No sound check, no nothing. We're ready to go. Josh Todd from Buck Cherry, another great guy. He went out, had a nice time with him. You know, a couple, you know, just, but then there's ones that you don't like, you know, Snoop Dogg during the day, everybody saw him at Waffle House. Everybody saw him. You keep getting calls. You know, and it's
hey,
like
your boy's here. Hey, your
or
boys.
You know, or the somebody from the police department is like, can you please let us know where he's going to be, because now we're getting calls. And it was a pretty big thing at the time. I mean, it was you know,
that's cool.
You know, but like I said, the thing with me is if I was the first date, I'd have gotten nervous. You know what I mean? Mm. But I was the second date, and I knew he was in Toledo, so you know,
so you knew he was.
I knew he was around.
Couple hours away.
You know what I mean? So he'll make the drive, and then you know he had checked into the Hampton in Canfield, which probably shouldn't have done that, you know. Another story, but
Come on, good story.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't think, you know, that's a different, you know, type atmosphere for, you know, Snoop to be at type thing. But the thing was he was in town, so it was nice, you know, it was good. So if I was the first show, I'd have been nervous.
So other than getting kicked out for hibachi cooking, has there been any artist that has destroyed their hotel room that you've heard about?
I know we had to pay for a couple of things for Snoop. I do know
smell
that.
Smell mediation.
Yeah, no, there were a couple, because I know that they had a private party at the hotel afterwards. Uh-huh. I don't remember the specifics of it because the club ended up paying for that. But I know that there was a few. Crossfade was a great band. Mm-hmm. Actually, when Buck Cherry played, Crossfade was upstairs with us watching the show. Mm-hmm. And I wish Crossfade would play again. It's actually the lead singer's birthday today.
Oh,
we're friends on Facebook, but you know, they're done. They just won't, they don't want to do anything.
They don't want to do anything.
They're done. Yeah. Mm. You know, for whatever reason, you know. But yeah, so it's just, you know, it's a lot of guessing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you hope that this band works. You hope the crowd that you're promoting
embraces
to believes
it.
In
yeah.
it. And, you know, it's like, okay, this is great. You know, I thought, you know, Fuel, we haven't done Fuel since 2008. I thought Fuel would be a great, you know, Gin Blossom just got off this massive tour with Bare Naked Ladies, Toad the Wet Sprocket and everything. I'm like, man, it would be really nice to bring them to Boardman. You know, that's Boardman right there. That's, you know, the type of music that you want. And the stars just aligned for that. You know, 99% of the time we start so early booking the bands that we usually get them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll build the tour around, you know, hey, we're playing Youngstown on the 30th. So let's whatever type thing. But it's got a lot aggressive too. The casinos have really upset the universe a lot. They just throw money at things. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know,
but a lot of casinos aren't putting bands in for whatever reason. They're not bringing back the entertainment just as of yet.
In this market, but when you go to Pittsburgh, I know of two bands off the top of my head that, you know, this area was bidding on. And they just swooped them up in Pittsburgh and are like,
wow.
They gave double.
Yeah.
You're talking double. Like, oof. A lot. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Cause I had heard rumor had it that they weren't doing the live entertainment. COVID shut a lot of things down and still people are not
sure.
They're not, they're scared. They don't want to.
In my opinion, you know, the concert business that, you know, and like I said, I dabble in all different things and not just concerts. I'm so by no means, you know, a Live Nation by any means. You know, I'm down to 3 or 4 concerts a year just because I have other things that, you know, I do.
To bring to the area.
I do festivals and, you know, you can only do X amount of festivals type thing. But in a lot of ways, like a lot of the agents left the business, you know, it's, you know, you go without pay for up to 2 years or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, a lot of the people that we knew are gone. They left. A lot of the bands aren't touring anymore. They're just done. you know, just a lot of different things, a lot of different, plus the bands are more expensive now. A band I had looked at last year is 25% more this year than they were last year for no reason. No reason.
And then, of course, you've got to take that out with the crowd and the ticket sales and everything and then, else to try to make up for that
type thing. And it's like, man, it's just wow, like, for no reason.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, wow. But yeah, so I mean, in a lot of ways, I think a lot of the models are changing. I think a lot of things are different. But I also think a lot of the revenue streams that the bands once got, like in the Wedge days, I would get stuff from record labels. You would get stuff from record labels. I mean, when we did the Jägermeister tour with Hinder, 2008, again, I think with you guys, I have so much Hinder stuff. And this is back when that Lips of an Angel is as good as it's going to get and as big as it's going to get. T-shirts, posters, CDs. I mean, we had all of that stuff from all of those record labels. Anytime a band came to town, I mean, I couldn't give this stuff away as quick enough. And that's gone. You know, I don't know what the royalties are now on, there's no CD sales anymore.
No.
Everything's
downloaded.
So you're making money now on touring and your merch.
That's it. And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, I mean, there's only so much, you know. So as a promoter now, it's like you have to, you know, be smart about it. If you're not, it could go upside down pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Very quick. You know, so it's like you're relying on, you know, the pop sales, the food sales, the beer sales, this. I mean, you have to equate all of that into it now. Well, what if it rains? Okay, we have rain insurance. Well, rain insurance is 20% of what the show would cost. You know, I mean, it's no joke. You know,
there's prices really behind it people don't realize.
Yeah.
Like you said, your insurance is trying to get the vendors in, trying to get the ticket sales, trying to sell out.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, as a promoter, you know, my thought process, okay, what do I need to break even? Where are we at with that?
Right.
You need X. Okay. You know, it's funny because people think, you know, you see a huge crowd and it's like, man, this guy's making $1 million. Well, you know,
when you take into consideration, then you've got your help that you have to pay, your security that you have to pay.
Generators.
The generators. My God, if they get water in them.
Just like I know something about Corey now that I never, you know.
You aren't ever going to live that down when you two see each other.
But I my one thing is I love the festivals. I love the rib burn off feel. I mean, anytime I do a concert or whatnot, I try and make it that big party atmosphere type type thing, you know. You know, the rib benders are the best you can get. Yeah, I mean, there's the beer prices are very reasonable. I mean, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, I really have my, you know, nose to the grind. Like, okay, you know, I mean, I would I go to this if I wasn't involved with this, but I heard about it. You know, 9 times out of 10, I would type thing. And so I try and put myself in, you know, someone else's shoes for once, as opposed to the other way around where, you know, I'm not in a bubble.
Right.
You know, I know exactly what's going on. I mean, it's not easy. Not easy for me. It's not easy for Joe. Not easy for you. I mean, I get it. So I try and make it as easy as possible. You know, I think so.
So do people come up to you in the restaurant and say, "Hey, Corey, you need to bring this band back, or you need to do that," or don't they put two and two together?
Put two and two together.
That's awesome.
He's like a
for
ninja.
The but they time. Will now.
Well, I'm sure. Thanks, Justine, for that. You know, but yeah, no, they, no, it's actually, I think, you know, they view it as a part of, he's a part of it somehow, not like the actual owner.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Chili sells margaritas at the Rib Burn Off, or he's associated with somehow. I don't know how, you know, I mean, I'm quiet. I don't really, you know,
say anything,
put it out there until now, but, you know, type thing. But yeah, so it's just, you know, nice and quiet type thing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Nice. Yeah. So we'll do a rundown. Uh-oh. You have talked and you were so worried about not knowing what to say.
Well,
and it's like,
I don't really, I
you're so interesting.
I kind of tend to stay away from you. I just like,
my own little
quiet things.
You did amazing. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
Look at her. She's a great host. So she draws it out like of you.
Spoon feeding you through the whole thing here, you know.
But you've got dates coming up in April.
April 15th, we have a toy show at the Campfield Fairgrounds Event Center. And again, it's toys from the new toys, vintage toys, comics, video games, diecast cars, 250 vendors all across the state. If you're looking for something, you know, toy related, you will find it there.
Okay.
I mean, a bunch of great vendors there. Then we roll into April 28th, 29th and 30th.
Okay.
Big Dave and Ed Super Swap Meet at the Campfield Fairgrounds. 3 days for, you know, automotive bliss.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a new part, used part, tool, you know, tool shop equipment, whatever, you'll find it there. It's all 3 days there. After that, we're into the Rib Burn-Off, June 22nd through the 24th at the Southern Park Mall with the Clarks, Fuel, and Gin Blossoms.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great,
yes.
great weekend.
Great weekend. Then right after that, we're back for the Youngstown Comic Con, July 8th and 9th. And then I get a little break, and then we have the swap meets September, October, November, and December, along with a toy show and a couple other things. So.
And then you're starting to put that, like we said, putting 2024 into the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to. It's, uh-huh. You know, yeah, it's.
So before we let you go, because we've really been, you've, I'm just so proud he was able to.
I enjoyed this. Yeah. Great.
Nailed it.
Right out of the ball field. What does Corey do on his downtime? He doesn't put the phone on. He doesn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, no, let's see here. I really enjoy going to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I love Universal Studios. It's like my, you know, if my downtime is around my vacation time. Mm-hmm. So I won't plan something for that month. My wife and I will go to Florida. We just got back from Clearwater. So I take two vacations a year, nice. Once in the spring and once in the fall.
You sound like him.
Yeah. Spring time.
Clearwater's the best.
Uh-huh.
It is. Really is. Springtime's Clearwater. And then the fall is Universal. So that's kind of my downtime. I really don't, unfortunately, have any hobbies. I used to be a big wrestling fan, big one.
I'd have never guessed.
Not anymore. No. Not anymore, though. I haven't seen it yet.
And it's all real.
It's, you know.
Stop yeah, ruining it.
You know, in my downtime, I would like to say, though, I like watching YouTube. Like, if it were me, I wouldn't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I like watching podcasts, you know, like wrestling podcasts from the golden era, like the 80s,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. I mean, YouTube's, I'm surprised, like, you know, that they don't have a, like, you have to pay model, period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, mm-hmm. you know, free, whatever. I'll just sit there and, or, you know, funny joke videos, you know, stuff like
right.
that. You know,
love get that sucked stuff. Into those.
I things. Do. And it's just, you go and it's just, you know,
uh-huh.
15 uh-huh. seconds.
On to the next one, on, you know?
Yes.
See? Yeah. So that's kind of, you know.
So you don't have hobbies.
I really don't. I really, yeah, there's not really boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, I don't know why you want me on here.
I don't have nothing, you know, to talk about. Like
nothing.
An hour and a half, you know? Of nothing.
An hour and a half of nothing that.
See? Then when we hang up the mic, then I'll really be like, Jesse, you should ask
you should have asked me this.
You should have said that. I'd have told you about this. You know what I mean?
So if people want to get in again in on advertising, say they want to put their banners on fences or whatever, sure. they need to contact you and you'll work out a price.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have autoevents.com, ribsandrock.com. All the phone numbers to the office and everything are on there. So,
and ticket sales are available right now.
Right now.
Okay.
Yes. See,
I'm working for you.
Yeah, I appreciate
See?
That.
See? I know, right?
See?
Promote yeah, it.
I appreciate that. It's good.
So good. So we're gonna wrap this up.
I really enjoyed my time with you guys. This is a great facility.
It's beautiful down here. It's yeah. like the best of everything. I mean, right? You've got podcasts and video, and I wanted to throw on headphones to be in radio. It's all here. It's all here.
Yeah, this is top notch.
Like mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, right. We yeah, keep talking about doing things out here in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. 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 Look at his little wheelhouse going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't let Joe fool you.
Oh, I mean,
trust me, don't let Joe fool you.
He's a mighty man.
My man's aggressive.
He is aggressive. Yes. He is aggressive.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember many times I'm like, you want to do what? Like, all right, sounds good.
And I didn't even realize the two of you really kind of knew each other and why I didn't think you, who knew?
The major schemers in town.
Right.
Have to know each other.
The plotters.
Yes, the plotters.
Absolutely.
Putting you two together would
crazy
yes would crazy ensue. Would ensue yes.
I remember I saw his name at the Campfield Fair, like for Abbott, you know, whatever. I went to someone at the office. I go, why are you having him out here? She's like, I'm just kidding. She was like, what? I'm like, I'm just kidding, you know.
They were already suspicious of me, so it didn't help.
So then I winked and they're like, oh, you know, everything's so serious.
And yeah, like, you know, way too much seriousness. If you ever right? knew him though,
oh.
He doesn't know how to take people sometimes, I think. Yeah, you don't.
No.
No. He just sits there and he'll
I just do my thing.
Right.
He's afraid to tread. See, that's, you know, but that's okay. Yeah. It all makes us work in the wheelhouse. Yeah. So Corey, it was amazing having you. I thought we would have heard from Bubba and Frankie for sure though.
I'm surprised. I told with the bad news of who the fuel tour manager is, I think, you know,
you're tormenting that kid.
I think it was literally 5 minutes before I walked in here. Boop, took a pic, sent it to him, and he goes, and he's just two words.
Uh-huh.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was it. Bubba's probably next door, you know what I mean? And the authority figure, you know.
Authority figure.
Suit and tie Bubba now, buddy, you know. Yep, enjoy.
But that's good. It's been long overdue for him, so we're happy to hear
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, you guys are all awesome, so it's
a close knit.
It is.
Everybody knows everybody, isn't it? I mean.
It's Youngstown. It's Youngstown. Everybody knows everybody.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. And if everybody doesn't know everybody, they soon will, Yeah, thank you so much, Corey.
Thank you. This was great. I really enjoyed this.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, we got to get you back on here and then you can talk about what happens after the post-concert.
Well, what I can do is just have a head cam.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And just videotape. You know what I mean?
GoPro.
Like if Joe followed me around, I kid you not, like, like literally.
I could see you doing it. Like,
just for a second.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Cut the audio.
Like,
His face is turning red. You must have thought of something good. Well, can't blame the bourbon because you haven't had
real
any.
Real quick, for the rib burn off last year, the mall just built this brand new thing. Well, it's AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
So it was touch and go
mm-hmm.
on what was going on that turf and what wasn't. The mall said, we don't want anything on that turf. And I'm like, that's impossible. There's no way. So I had two diagrams. Monday morning, everything shows up. So it's like, they're on this end and I'm on that. I'm like, what are we doing? And a landscaper of all people parted the Red Seas and said, it's okay. We can bring it back. Or if they're, as long as they don't stake into it, we're good. I'm like, a landscaper. I've been telling you that for months. You know what I mean? And it's just the little things like that to where everything, you know, would have been in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all moved, like the big tents and all that. And it,
you know, wow.
About that.
See, it all comes together. It,
mm-hmm. All right, before we wrap up, why don't you tell people what your next show is that you're going to have scheduled here at the end of the month?
Well, it's not going to be next week.
No,
it's going to be the week after, I believe. He's got to confirm.
Okay. Can you announce?
Well, I'm just going to tell you that he's the CEO of a record company. Oh. How about that?
Oh, so I got bumped. I was supposed to be on the 30th. Then I get a call yesterday. Hey, can you come down? I'm like,
He's actually there's Brian Bubba Lytle.
See, there's the story. You know what I mean? Now I'm a warm up. Yeah.
We wanted to get you on as soon as possible, but he was signing a recording artist tonight, so he couldn't make the Zoom call, but you're live and in person.
I see that. I know. It's great.
And Bubba's all, hi, Bubba.
Hi, Bubba.
Robbie Kale. Right. Bubba's but the best.
Robbie Kale, great. You know, Robbie Kale, No Funk, No Justice, opening up for Fuel.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's on there.
Everybody, they love you. Look at that.
Look at that, Justine. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
Damn, look at that. That's really big over there, too.
I concur.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's been a minute.
Yep.
It's been a New York minute, actually. So
see, that's why you stick with tribute band, Steve James. I see it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this was good. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming back on.
No, it's great.
Or coming actually, on, actually.
Actually, it was great because I was with Frankie all day. We had some run around and I ran people down all day. So it was great. You know what I mean? So I got it out of my system. I'm glad before I got here. So it worked out pretty good, you know?
So see, he's not listening. So we're good. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is great. Thank you for having me. And thank you for letting me.
I'm so glad you had stories to tell. And it was awesome. It was truly an hour and a half worth of knowledge that we would have gotten nowhere else.
Thing of beauty.
A thing of beauty.
There it is.
So not next week, but the week after. Okay. Yeah. So
see you then.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos.